Good morning, church. It is so great to see you all today. It's always a treat to come and be with the Selwyn campus and see some familiar faces and lots of new faces as well. So if you don't know me, my name is Anna and I am based at our La Vida campus. And I'm excited to speak to you this morning, and this message comes out of something that is a challenge for me and something that my eyes have been open to in recent weeks as I've thought about and talked about this topic. Now, have you ever, and I'm sure that it is none of you wonderful people and probably just me, but have you ever been in a conversation with someone, maybe it's your spouse or a family member or a friend, and as you're talking to them, you've thought to yourself, oh, well, at least I don't have that issue. Yep, it's all coming out today. I'm sure it's none of you, but I have to confess that this happened to me. I was talking to a friend who told me that she was a bit of a people pleaser and she was trying to kind of break the habit and set some boundaries in her life. And I thought to myself in that moment, not with malicious intent, but, well, at least I'm not a people pleaser. But God, in his loving grace and correction, has taken me on a journey in these last few weeks, and I'm titling this message today, Confessions of an Unaware People Pleaser. See, when I think of the term people pleaser, I think of someone who is not only willing, but almost insistent on pushing down their own needs and wants in order to appease the people around them. That has always been my go-to definition. Someone that overlooks their own needs in order to please others and make them happy, often at their own expense. And to be perfectly honest, which is always a good thing, is it not? I have prided myself on the fact that I have boundaries. I know how to look after myself so that, yes, I can love people and I can give and I can be present and available to others, but not at the expense of my own health and my own needs. And before you think that I am a cold and uncaring person, I really want to make the distinction here between people pleasing and people loving. Because as followers of Jesus, I believe that we have an obligation to each other. Yeah. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, every single one of us in this room. And we are called to love. Not just when it suits us, not just when it's convenient, not just when it works for our schedule, but we are called to love each other with a genuine and sacrificial love. Yeah. This is a love described in John 13, verse 35. Jesus said, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So it is really important how we love each other. We are called to be people lovers and people helpers and people carers and people huggers. Right. And people who go out of our way to show love and care for those in need. Yeah. But we are not called to be people pleasers. Our scripture for this morning is from Galatians 1 verse 10. It says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ." And this is a simple verse, but it is actually quite challenging because Paul is saying here that if we are trying to please people, if that is our primary goal, then we are not servants of Christ. They cannot coexist. Right. As followers of Jesus, we are called to be obedient to his word, to his will, and to the Holy Spirit. When we follow him, we are choosing to put to death our own selfish nature, our sinful flesh, our own agenda. And this is a daily choice. This is a choice that we make again and again because we recognize the sovereignty of God. We recognize his power and his authority, and we recognize that he is a loving God that has adopted us into his family, and he has great plans for us. He is the one that we should be pleasing and considering as we go about our ordinary days. Right. And as I mentioned, we are, of course, called to love and serve one another. That is pleasing. That is our human nature. We love and we appreciate when people do kind and caring things for us. It is okay to do kind things. It is good. But what is our underlying motive? Are we trying to convince others that we are righteous, that we are good enough? Are we going above and beyond for others, not out of a deep conviction that God loves us and has called us to love and serve the people in our lives, but maybe out of a deep insecurity that perhaps if we love other people enough, we might finally feel loved in return? That if we can be seen by others to be good, we might actually feel good enough for once. Is it an attempt at reassuring ourselves that we do have purpose? Our people-pleasing tendencies can achieve wonderful things, but it will never heal insecurity in us. Right. And it will never replace the joy of walking in obedience to God and His plans for our lives. And the great news is, when we do that, when we walk in obedience and surrender to God and His plans, then loving others is a natural consequence of that anyway. Our actions towards others reflect the love of God that we have experienced in our own lives. For me, pride crept in, and in my confident thought of, well, at least I'm not a people pleaser, God graciously showed me how often these thoughts of wanting people's approval were lingering there under the surface. Right. And how often I was considering what people would think of me if I made this decision instead of that decision. If this was my opinion that I chose to share instead of that opinion. If I needed to change anything in order to become more likable or more lovable to the people in my life. I may not have identified as a people pleaser, but I was blinded to how much of my thought life was focused on gaining and then maintaining people's approval of me. And I can guarantee it's exhausting. When I'm focused on what people think of me rather than what of God thinks of me, that I am loved, that I am accepted, that I have His eternal approval, completely undeserved because of His Son. When I'm not focused on that stuff, when I'm focused on what people think of me, I live distracted. I live with my mind taken up with things that don't actually matter. The thing about people-pleasing, like I said, is that good things can still be achieved. You can still love and care for others. You can still make a difference. You can still do things that align with your values and your morals. But Paul reminds us that seeking the approval of people and being a servant of Christ cannot coexist. We can do a good thing with a misguided motive. I think of my wonderful kids. They are 4 and 5. Sometimes they just take it upon themselves to tidy up their toys before dinner. You know, they might even take up their dirty plates to the bench after dinner as well. That's always a win. And then they'll come up to John or myself with puppy dog eyes and ever so sweetly ask if there is any dessert. Great things are achieved. The motive is questionable. The house is tidy. The ice cream is secured. We can bless someone else without even involving God in the process. We can do good things that make a difference, simply out of a need to secure people's approval or make them happy. And I feel today a word for many of us, me included, is to bring God back into the process, into our day-to-day, into every conversation that we have, every opportunity in front of us to do good. God wants us to be a blessing everywhere that we go. He wants us to use our wisdom gained through all of our life experiences to help others. And He wants to give us the compassion of Jesus to see a need and meet that need with no agenda, no hidden motive, but simply because we know who He is. We know what He has done for us, and we want to share that with others. You know, it is such a blessing that God chooses to work through us. He chooses to give us these opportunities to show love, to show care, and provide help for people in need through what he has placed in our hands and in our hearts. And you might have asked yourself as I'm talking, if good things can still happen with the wrong motive, why does that actually matter? Reflecting on this question for myself, I just wonder how many opportunities I miss when I am not focused on God, on being obedient to him, when I am so consumed about people's love and acceptance of me, on being good enough for others. If I'm spending my time overanalyzing my every little move in order to gain people's approval or please them, there is not much room left in here to think about what God might be saying. And we see all through Scripture that it's inevitable that we face moments where we have to choose the approval of people or walking in obedience to Christ. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were commanded to worship a golden idol in Daniel chapter 3, with the very real threat of being thrown into a fiery furnace if they disobeyed. When confronted with this threat, the three men say to King Nebuchadnezzar in verses 16 to 18, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." This is a powerful example of choosing God's way, choosing obedience to Christ, well, to God, not to Christ yet, even to the point of being willing to lose their lives. They had such a strong conviction that God was in control, that he was more powerful than any idol that could be shaped by the hands of man. He was the one that was worthy of their worship, worthy of their obedience. They believed in the sovereignty of God. They weren't willing to compromise. They weren't willing to chase after people's approval, even the approval of their earthly king. They knew that they had a heavenly king that went far beyond any earthly authority or wisdom. And he was the one that they wanted to please. And here's another example of someone in the Bible who, in a moment of weakness, prioritized people's approval over devotion to Christ. In Matthew 26, Jesus has been arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. Reading from verse 69. "Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. 'You also were with Jesus of Galilee,' she said. But he denied it before them all. 'I don't know what you're talking about,' he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, 'This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth.' He denied it again with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, 'Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away.' Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, 'I don't know the man.' Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." Now we know that Peter was devoted to Jesus. It is clear through the Gospels. When Jesus asks his disciples who he is, Jesus says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God." He had faith in Jesus. He was a devoted follower. But this is a moment of weakness for Peter. Have you ever had one of those? We're out of fear. He chooses to deny his connection to Jesus. He was in a vulnerable position. The worry of people's disapproval and the consequences of that disapproval led him to that decision to deny knowing Jesus. Right. I know that I have been in this position before. I wonder if you have. where it would be so much easier just to not mention your relationship with God,
right,
your church attendance, what you really got up to over the weekend. It's easy to exclude the details and carefully curate in order to retain people's approval.
Right.
And I've done this with my own non-Christian family members. They'll ask me how church was that week, and sometimes it's easier to not really go there. You know, even if I was the one speaking that week, I've left that out at times because I've had those moments of weakness where I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered talking about, you know, what I spoke on and hearing what they might think about that.
Right.
It's just easier, and I am working on it. In high school, being at a public secular school, it was so much easier to tell my friends that I went to the movies on Saturday,
right,
rather than the fact that I went to church on Sunday. Peter was caught in this moment of weakness, in a state of self-preservation, where the crowd's approval became more important than being a servant of Christ. You know, the love of God is incredible for countless reasons. And one of these reasons is that we cannot make ourselves any more lovable, any more acceptable, and any more pleasing to God. We are heirs with Christ because of his death on the cross for us. So when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sin, mistakes, and mess. He sees the righteousness of Christ that was purchased for us upon that cross. He sees us as his children, created in his image. He sees us as loved, as pleasing, as acceptable. And there is nothing that we can do to change that, no matter our mistakes, no matter our moments of weakness. And I want to spend way more time thinking about that truth than I spend thinking about myself, thinking about how I might come across to people, thinking about whether or not I am likable or lovable enough to the people in my life, whether or not I measure up to people's standards. It is out of this revelation of how loved we are by God that we are able to serve Christ wholeheartedly, not out of a desire to do good things and appear good, but because God has been so good to us, because he has given us everything, and serving him is our way to show him our gratitude. Loving others comes from knowing God and knowing how loved we are by him. So let us do good things out of obedience and devotion to Christ.
Yeah.
Not because we want to please others,
yeah,
but because he is the only one we need to please.
Yeah.
Let us be people lovers and people helpers and people carers, but not people pleasers. Let us be Christ pleasers. We are all on a journey of understanding God's love. And in our humanity, it's not an easy thing for us to understand. One of my favorite passages of scripture is Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus at the end of Ephesians 3. Verse 17 to 19 reads, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And that is a wonderful thing to pray. We are rooted and established in love.
Yeah.
That is our God-given identity, and everything that we do flows out of that truth. Paul prays here that the Lord's holy people would have the power to grasp the width, the length, the height, and the depth of God's love for them. And we need to pray that over ourselves too. I call this message Confessions of an Unaware People Pleaser. And maybe today you're like me, and you were unaware of just how much seeking people's approval was taking up your mental space.
Right.
Today, let's fill that mental space with the truth and the knowledge of how loved we are by God.
Yeah.
That he is the only one worthy of our obedience and our devotion. that no human being can replace the love and acceptance that we receive from our Heavenly Father. When we are servants of Christ, we can also serve others with humility and devotion, not from the place of gaining people's approval, but from the place of knowing that we already have God's approval, and that is worth everything. Worship team, if you guys could come up and join me, I'd love to pray for you this morning, church, if you want to stand with me, if you're able. Now, there are two things that I want to pray for this morning. And the first is for anyone who feels like they are a bit of a people pleaser. Maybe you already knew that, or maybe today you can identify with a bit of my story of realizing this over the last few weeks. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." Fear of man, being too concerned and caught up with the opinions of others, is a trap. But when we put our trust in God, He will keep us safe. So with every eye closed this morning, if this is you, feel free to raise your hands if you want to, or just respond in your heart, whatever you feel comfortable with, and I would love to pray for you. Lord, this morning I pray for anyone who has been carrying the weight of trying to win people's approval. God, we know that your love and acceptance of us is what matters. So I pray in this moment that you would show them just how loved they are, that they don't need to prove their worth, they don't need to spend all of their time and energy pleasing others to be good enough, because you have called them worthy. You have called them enough. God, we know that you have amazing plans for us, that you want us to reach the people in our world with the love of God. So would your Holy Spirit help us all to do good deeds, to be loving in our words and our actions from a place of servanthood to you, not out of trying to gain people's approval and acceptance. And God, we repent of the times that we have been more caught up and what people think of us, rather than in the truth of what you say about us. We want to live lives that honor you first and foremost, and we want to make a difference in the lives of people around us. So Lord, I pray for a significant shift for any people pleasers here, aware or not, that you would break off the chains of needing people's approval, and that they could live in the freedom of knowing that they are already loved and accepted. In Jesus' name, amen. And secondly, if you've heard me speaking about the love of God this morning, that we are known and loved and accepted by Him, and you haven't made a decision yet to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd love to pray a salvation prayer for you as well. Same as before, you can raise your hands or respond in your heart. I just ask that you please tell someone after the service, tell Dave, Joe, me, any of the team, just so we can help you along your journey and make sure we get a Bible into your hands and any other support that you may need. So with every eye closed again, let's pray. God, I thank you for the incredible love that you have for me. I give you my life and my heart today. I turn from my sin and I turn from my old ways. I confess that I have been far from you. So today I declare that you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe in Jesus and what he has done on the cross for me. I thank you that because of his death, I now have eternal life with you. Forgive me, lead me, guide me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's worship together.